Banter, banter, test, test. Funny dad stories.
Yellow to go.
Yellow team, go! The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old.
And I'm Jeff, I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
So I think I've discovered that my 3-year-old listens to the show.
Oh yeah? Way, we have a new fan.
Yeah, because he heard me talking positively last week about how things are pretty good with him.
Found you out.
And decided to put an end to that this week. No, thank you.
Oh, no.
So, just kind of a... Honestly, things still are fun. I mean, where he's fun age, he's babbling, we go out and play, like, it's all great, but... We had some regression as far as his sleeping. We had some real issues with him getting to sleep and such, which, given the heat, given his kind of new room situation, all makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But between that and just kind of a bit of a kind of like a whiny phase that picked up this week.
Oh, yeah.
Where everything becomes a whine. Like, you're like, oh, this is annoying. Love you to death, but geez, dude. Like, if I was your friend, I'd be giving you a really hard time.
If I was your friend.
Yeah.
You know what?
but it seemed like he listened in and decided to turn that right around. So.
Okay.
Teach me for speaking positively.
Yeah, don't do that.
but keeping on family and speaking of positively, there was a great PSVR moment that I got to have with some family members. So an aunt and uncle and their kids came over for the weekend for a barbecue. And at one point I was looking at them, I was just thinking, it's like, have you ever tried PSVR? Have you ever tried VR?
Beginning of a cult. Have you tried VR?
And their eyes kind of lit up a little bit, especially they have a couple of high school age guys. And yeah, there it is. Set the machine up. Best part too is another great note to the company is it was so quick to set up now.
Yeah,
I had it in a box, but like it's like, oh, let's give it a shot. Bing, 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 like the 6 cables, like got the headset on, away we go.
Yeah.
Toss them in, and I just had an awesome time. So they're just stunned. Like, they're amazed. They're having a blast. We ended up playing the Drive Club.
Oh, yeah, really? Wow, that's brave.
Well,
that's
see, I find
VR
it...
VR speed.
I find it really approachable, though, because it's only 2 buttons, right? The 2 shoulder buttons, which align to gas pedals, so it makes sense. And then you're just holding the controller, and that is your steering wheel. Like, one of the options is, like, you know, you just turn the steering wheel like you...
The motion, yeah.
Turn the controller like you would a steering wheel. And that's fantastic, because anybody can do it. My dad did it, and my uncle and my 2 cousins did. So it was awesome. So it was so much fun to have people over and get to experience it all together. We're watching the other people drive and race and, you know, kind of laughing all along.
Nice.
I really think that's got to be one of the greatest uses of VR, and especially the way PlayStation's done it, where you get to watch what they're seeing.
Yeah, I enjoy that part too, because when people jump in and you can see where their brain kind of pauses for a little bit, like, you're like, whoa, this is actually there. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm telling you, I think that's one of the killer features of it, is just that approachability to gaming. It's that next level Wii experience, where everybody can kind of just play with it and enjoy it. It's a gaming experience that is more universal to anybody.
Nice.
I had an awesome time with the family. That was just a great one. Now, if I'm not mistaken, from some of our conversations during the week, I understood that this was the last week of school for you, or I should say for your kids, yes?
Well, for them and for me, Trevor.
for the whole family. It's all sanctioned educational daycare is over.
Yes. It's a family affair. So, yes, my kids are officially out of school. It is now summer for them. And for any parent that has dealt with year end, basically school ends at the June 1st. Like, they're not doing anything in class. The report cards are done. It's not much of an issue. In terms of the grades or anything. So they've been watching TV all this time. So it's really about the year-end runaround of who and what do you get the teachers for gifts.
I didn't hear the word if. So it sounded like a foregone conclusion that there will be gifts for all teachers. Yeah.
So, yes.
You get an apple, and you get an apple.
I know. It's like, I live in an area where teachers get really good gifts, and we're not on the good gift list. We're on, this is your gift card list. This is, you know, your $5-$10 to McDonald's or Tim Hortons or whatever. But I have been divided on that issue too, because I've always thought of, okay, yeah, like they've done their job, right? It was a great job that my kid, you know, learned something. They were attentive. They've bonded with the teacher. That's great. But you got paid for that. No one's paying me for...
That is the job, yes.
Yeah, so to give them a weird tip at the end, like kind of like you would tip a waiter or waitress, it's odd to me. It's like, and then you kind of think like, well, if you don't, and that teacher teaches my younger son, or it moves up in a grade and teaches again, if I leave them a bad gift, is that going to leave like a bad taste in their mouth? Are they going to remember me and then like remember my kid and be like, no, that's $5 Tim Hortons card guy. You can give him a good mark.
Yeah, that's a C minus at best, pal. Nice try.
Yeah,
I could understand it from, it's difficult because of course the job of a teacher is incredibly difficult. I mean, I don't think the problem it's so detached from, I'd like to think it's so detached from appreciation. I don't think there's any parent that looks at teachers and thinks, oh, there is your easy job.
Or no, absolutely not. Like, I'm fighting two kids at home, let alone 25 in a classroom. Like, you know, you do you. That's amazing. What you do is God's work at this point. Like, that's crazy. Like, but I don't know what a present at the end of the year is supposed to mean. Not even at the end of the year. At Christmas and now. So it's...
I get it. And it's like, obviously, people are very appreciative of what they do. And then, but just... mandatory gifts is a little weird. I could understand it too if it is, this teacher went above and beyond. They spent extra time with my kid. They were really inspirational for my kid. Look, like, here's something to thank you for what the above and beyond you did. But kind of, it kind of sounds like you have to now.
Yeah, it's pretty much a given. if not for you, then for the kids, where all the other parents and kids will be giving gifts. And then if your kids don't, now it's an issue on why they didn't, and they might have questions around it. So we've kind of we've compromised and met in the middle where the kids have to craft something. Okay. So this year it was like, we got these, a bunch of like little clipboards from a store that weren't very much money, and they painted them. And then we left a note that they wrote. So a note or a picture from my younger son, because he can't write yet. And they clipped it to that along with the gift card or whatever the gift was. So it was something that they had to do, and it wasn't just us running around and getting presents.
See, at first that sounded like such a great dad tip, but then you capitulated and you still gave money. Because I would have thought...
That would have been it for me, Trevor.
Okay. Hold on. Okay, I don't want to throw salt on that wound.
Yeah, we're not getting into that right now. No, that would have been it. But compromise.
So it sounds like a dad tip for some would be... Get the kids to craft something, because then the teachers can feel appreciated.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend a lot of money.
Right.
Kind of shows appreciation to the kid through, you know, generous means as opposed to just cash.
Yeah, exactly. And they have to take part in that, right? And this idea was actually my wife's. Like, she wanted to do it, and she had this great idea about the clipboard thing. I'm like, oh, that's neat. And then they painted them, and they spent the whole day doing it with glitter and all this other stuff. The house was a mess. So this is not like it was...
You get to live with that gift for a while.
Nice. Yeah, so... And it turned out great. Like, the kids were happy to go give it to them. I will say, though, it's kind of like inviting people to your wedding, because you're like, well, where do you draw the line in terms of teachers? Because now you have, you know, there's a phys ed teacher, there's a French teacher, there's a librarian, there's daycare before and after. So we had to kind of go down the list and chop, because there's too many. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, we have a gaming budget to maintain here. Like,
that's it. No game. Money has to go back into the podcast. I'm sorry.
Listen, it's a Steam summer sale right now. I can't be affording this. You understand.
That's what I should have got them. That's what I should have got all the teachers. Aww. Here's your Steam card.
Yeah. There's your ticket.
Business card too.
Yeah, from my side, I'll say my dad in his retirement drives a school bus.
Okay.
And he makes it like a bandit. Like, it's unbelievable. He gets some, it's like $50 Tim Horton cards.
Oh yeah, I totally believe it.
Like, and that's a bus driver. Now, I think I think he's a pretty good bus driver. Like, knowing the
what
type
does
of
that
man.
Mean, though?
So, for instance, like,
no
he,
kids injured on the job? Or?
He knows all the kids' birthdays.
Okay.
And he has my mom bake a cupcake whenever it's your birthday.
Oh, wow.
So, if you're a kid and it's your birthday, he'll make sure that you get a cupcake that day. And it's like, you know, he makes a deal of it. So, that's the type of... So, in some ways, that's where it's like somebody went above and beyond.
Right.
I think with it, what he does, the way he kind of approaches his thing. Yeah. But yeah, I'm telling, like, $50 here, like, he gets like steak, the Keg, which is a steakhouse.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Gift cards, yep. Just,
yeah.
Just the same. And it lasts them. The best part, like, it fuels him until the next one. So he'll get his end of year, which then it's so much money from Tim Hortons and such. He doesn't go that often. It lasts him until Christmas, at which point he gets stocked back up.
Gets right back in there again. Yeah. So, I could tell. Yeah. Totally believe it.
Yeah, murky waters, because you don't want to be pissing these people off. Like,
I don't think, especially a bus driver. Get out.
Yeah. Oops, wrong stop again.
My stop.
It's always, get off. You always stop like 200 yards where you're supposed to be dropped. Walk.
It's raining outside or snowing. It's like, sorry, get out.
Please, sir, don't. As always, these are difficult life challenges, difficult dad challenges, and some dads handle these much better than others. No offense, Jeff, but they realizing how that sounded. But some dads handle these so much better than others. Some dads are just great, and these dads win Gaming Dad Victories of the Week. So this week's Gaming Dad Victory goes to GamerDad29 with a really great story around Overwatch and connecting with his kids when he's on the road. So this will be the second Overwatch dad story in a row from last week, and it's kind of in the same vein in some ways, but a bit of a nice twist where it's the game is the medium to connect with his kids when he's out on the road for work and just traveling around, which again, just this great avenue of using gaming for that family time. And, you know, using some of the benefits of gaming, remote play, you know, asynchronous gameplay, all this other great stuff to make those connections. So the best way to go through it here is I'll read his post. I travel for a living Monday through Thursday as a consultant. Since I am a gamer, I picked up a gaming laptop so I can play from my hotel rooms at night. My little fellas love Overwatch. 7 and 6 years old, and they sit and watch Owl. And that's the Major League Gaming component of Overwatch. Additionally, they saved up $40 over a couple months to buy an Overwatch account. Now we can play when I'm gone. They sit on my PC at home and we chat, laugh, play, and have a blast at night in custom matches against bots. They are beyond thrilled when they can earn a loot box and open up any color. It brings me so much joy to see their overwhelming enthusiasm for gaming, even in the small things that we take for granted, opening a blue-colored loot, etc. I'm so thankful for Overwatch, the username for Jeff Kaplan, and the team there giving my kiddos and I an opportunity to connect when I'm not there, and when I am. GamerDad29. So, the photo I sent along, he's captured his two guys having just a uproarious time.
Yeah, he's got his two little ones in front of his PC at home, and the one in front of the keyboard is the widest, brightest smile, like something's happened in the game. Either he's opened up a loot box and seen something that he likes, or he's, you know, gaming with his dad on the other end. But it's they look zoned into this. It's a great thing to see that again, gaming is creating that bond even when they're apart. And a couple things going on with the story, just even them saving up their allowance however they save that money to get an account to play with their dad is kind of its own little sentiment too. It's nice to see, and that's a great picture, a great moment in time captured as well. So
yeah, any opportunity to like teach money and value of saving, and you want something, you have to earn it and buy it.
Yeah.
Because it would have been so easy to just buy a second account and give it to the kids, but the fact that they loved it so much and wanted to participate and they had to earn it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Being away from their home, being able to connect with them, hearing them on the voice chat headset. Like, I'm not at the stage yet because, of course, my guys are so young, but like the thought that if I had to be away in some other city, but I could have them on the headset and we're playing that game together on the same team.
Yeah.
Man, beautiful.
Exactly. And I think that's, obviously you could, you know, call your kids, speak to your kids, but the fact that he can play with his kids at over such a distance as well, that's kind of a neat thing to see.
Fantastic use of gaming. Such a really warm, great story. Now, to check out this Gamer Dad, we suggest you go over to Instagram. This is the username GamerDad29. Some adorable photos there otherwise. Any dad or gaming dad will look at some of these and just smile because beautiful little moments of fatherhood. So he's really captured some really great ones there. But for an incredible Overwatch play, for using gaming to connect with kids when distance separates them, GamerDad29 has won this week's Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. If you would like to be nominated for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week or know somebody else deserving, please reach out to us at our website, newdadgaming.com.
New dads, listen up as we go over this week's highlights and what happened in the world of gaming. Just in time for summer, Sony has released some greatest hits on a number of great games, permanently lowering their prices to $20 US or $29.99 Canadian. There's an extensive list of goodies, but some highlights from us here at New Dad Gaming include Yakuza 0, Street Fighter 5, and Doom, but you can find the full list from PlayStation's website. The indie game Hollow Knight has racked up some staggering numbers on the Nintendo Switch. In just 2 weeks, sales are pegged at 250,000K. Seems like the Metroidvania-style game has found a perfect home on the Switch, and the developer, Team Cherry, is looking forward to working with Nintendo on future titles. Amy Henning, the director and scriptwriting behind such games as Legacy of Kain, Jak and Daxter, and even the co-creator of the Uncharted series, has officially left EA. Amy was part of an unnamed narrative Star Wars title before leaving under some unknown circumstances. Well, that Star Wars game has now been shelved, and Amy has announced she is completely independent and starting her own indie company that will be experimenting in the VR space. If her track record is any indication, VR gamers should be super excited for some high-quality experiences from Amy and her team. Google is apparently working on creating a console of some sort. Kotaku has reported that Google is creating some sort of gaming streaming platform and is looking to acquire some developer support. There's no other details as of yet, but Google throwing around its weight and money in the gaming industry could be a good thing for competition and innovation. Or a complete failure. We'll have to see. And when is Fortnite never not in the news? Well, this past Saturday, players were invited to an in-game event that went off without a hitch. If you got into a match at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time, there was an in-game rocket that launched into the sky and exploded in spectacular fashion, creating a permanent rift in the skybox. What does this mean? Well, Fortnite seems to have these genius marketing and community events that keep the game in the spotlight, so we can't wait to see what they have up their sleeves for their next surprise. Overwatch has announced their next hero, and it's a hamster in a giant mech suit. Nope, not kidding. Hammond the Hamster, nicknamed Wrecking Ball, is both cute and deadly, with his tank character smashing through the map in a ball, swinging from building to building with a grappling hook, or morphing into a giant four-legged robot with dual machine guns. Hammond is apparently available to test out on Overwatch's public test realm on PC, so gear up those hamster wheels and get out there. Some gaming launches here. We will discuss the freebies announced for July. Games with gold for Xbox include the Assault Android Cactus, Death Square for Xbox One, Virtual Fighter 5 and Splinter Cell Conviction for the Xbox 360. And over on the Sony side, the PSN Plus games include Heavy Rain and Absolver for the PS4, Rayman 3 HD and Deception 4 for the PS3, and Vita gets in on it with Space Overlords and Zero Escape. That's it for the gaming news for this week. Catch a nap and tune in next week for another update.
So greatest hits for PlayStation up against Steam Summer Sale. Like they just really want us to buy games right now.
All the time. Yeah. Like this is like the exodus of everything. It's just...
I think we own most of those generally. Like we talked about a couple of them. Yakuza was kind of interesting. Although again, it's just... With the depth of that game, I can't imagine that's dad-friendly. Like, how on earth would you find time for that one?
No, I keep looking at it and I'm like, no, I can't.
Yeah, but I mean, for anybody who hasn't dived into Uncharted, that's a fantastic opportunity. Like, that's a great price on that one. Street Fighter, like, that is so cheap. That is fantastic.
Yep.
So anyone who has a bit of a like of fighting games like myself suggests, like, that might be the time to hop in.
Yeah.
Had you ever played Hollow Knight?
I did, and I have it on my Mac, actually, and I played it with the kids for a little bit, and then it got really, really hard. So we put it on pause. So it's a cute little game. I don't know if you played it, but the animation is all like hand drawn. It's very well done. So it's kind of a neat game to get into.
Yeah, it looked beautiful. It seemed like the type of thing I'd like to get into, a la what's the one with the little white character? It had just gone on sale. It was a Microsoft exclusive for a while.
Ori and the Blind Forest.
Ori and the Blind Forest, yeah. I can't believe you picked it up from my lousy description.
I got you. I'm on the same wavelength. I got it.
It seemed along that same where it's, you know, that animation aesthetic, like, I don't want to call it beautiful because it was a bit darker, right? Like Hollow Knight?
Yeah, it is. It's got a lot of blues, blacks just as the color palette. And then, yeah, it's very, like you're like this little almost creature that's underground all the time. So there's like no outdoor spaces that I've seen. So yeah, it's very dark and grim.
Like, it's great to see these titles be able to blow up. Like, the industry is able to accept smaller titles. People get excited about it. Next thing you know, massive, huge success across a bunch of consoles.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good to see.
Now, speaking of consoles, the question becomes, would Hollow Knight show up on the Google console? So between
Google, I don't know. Google seems to do a lot of things and then they kind of jump out after a while. Like, they kind of half support it and then they're like, eh, we're done with this, and they move on. So they have a lot of hurdles to meet a streaming gaming box. I think, you know, the infrastructure in the North America is not well equipped to do anything streaming wise with lag. Like, if you had any game that required split second decisions, that's hard to do with a streaming box. So
yeah, and if anything, like, the streaming, it's the concept of it to me is you get to break away from your physical devices, right? Like, great, like, I don't have to be at home, like, my games move with me. Except that's with the current infrastructure, that's a lie, because you need to have this rocket fast internet connection. You need to ensure that it's a constant streaming rate, so it's a good experience. Because you could think, like, okay, I'll take it on the road with hotel. But if anybody who's used a hotel Wi-Fi network knows, they can be pretty good, but they're not going to be consistently amazing.
No.
To go, right? So it's that until that value proposition's there, like, if they ever figure out, like, if you could do that on your mobile network, like, you had unlimited LTE mobile connection.
Yeah.
And you could use that anywhere to stream into a game. You're kind of talking now, but until then, it's kind of seems like you're still strung to your house. And, like, what's the point?
I think so too. And unless Google launches its fiber network, like, all North America, and uses that to put this in your house, and any tablet or whatever you have to use, I don't think they're there yet. I don't know if this was just like pie in the sky and they kind of announced it and went, nah, and moved on. But
see if it sticks.
I would even say, like, licensing and ownership would be a big part, because I like to kind of own my games, whether it be digitally or physically. And if they're moving towards like a Netflix type style subscription, I don't really want to see that, because Netflix stuff leaves without kind of knowing or notifying you that it's going. So I couldn't imagine that with a game that you haven't beaten. That's just like, makes your eyes twitch.
Yeah. Now, to play devil's advocate a bit, I could kind of see it, because, you know, we're working on dad budgets here. And well, legit. No. And sometimes you want to just get in and sample something, right? Or I don't know of any of these, let's call it six AAA titles that are coming out, if I'm really going to like any one of them. So, but you have to plop down that like $80 as a gamble. Now I own it. Ah, too bad. I don't like it. You know, I think of myself, like, in my Battlefront, the original Battlefront game that I did not like. So imagine, like, so you do have this subscription, and yeah, you run the risk because they'll just pull the plug at some point. You won't be able to play it. But if it's that one-time fee and you have access to all of these games at release, it kind of seems like there'd be this enjoyment being able to sample it. And then ideally anything that is popular enough would stick there. I get the risk, but it seems like some of the rewards could be worth it.
Yeah, and I can see that, but I can also see that we've moved away from demos. Like, we used to get demos from every game, and now, like, that's non-existent. You might get a free-to-play weekend now and then, like a year after release, but we used to get demos, and very rarely did they ever release something, because they might have found out that people get turned off from the demo and they lose potential sales. I don't know. But yeah, I can see your point with the subscription. Even just as a dad gamer, maybe for the whole family to take part, you know, now there's games for the kids, there's games for me, there's mm-hmm. games for my wife, there's games for whoever. And it's more of an arrangement of having different genres at once. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, like the exposure part of it too. Yeah. Because as opposed to my palette, because of my limited budget, my palette for games is going to be somewhat narrow because I'm only going to take a risk every so often, as yeah. opposed to I could just try any of these things. Like, man, this crazy indie title is amazing. And I would have never like even touched it if I hadn't known it. So
yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
See if they pull it off. Just, yeah, great. More hardware. This will be... I would just more prefer that these guys would start to work together a bit more.
I agree.
Like could Google not talk to PlayStation so it becomes like an app on the PlayStation?
Yeah.
Or vice versa, like the or Xbox or Switch, anything. Like,
yeah.
Do they have to have their own physical hardware that I have to buy? Like the TV stand is getting a little ridiculous.
I agree. And again, like you said, like wouldn't that kind of turn to more revenue for them? Then they're across all consoles. People can like go into that app or whatever, and you got this library of games. I don't know how that's gonna work. Google has a lot of money. I'm sure they could just, you know, put things on the shelf, people will buy it a little bit, and then they can say they did it and walk away.
Yeah, no, like it's man, Switch, PS4, like any place that could go, or even if it was on, imagine if it was on mobile, like if they're one of the first companies to really deliver that AAA high fidelity graphic to your mobile device. You're seeing that a little bit now with the Steam app that released recently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, even having Fortnite on your phone, right? I know that's not a streaming service, but you can play against other people on other consoles. It's just something that is on the cusp of happening, is these high quality games can almost run on. Yeah. If Google could bring this streaming service or streaming box to other tablets, phones, something that I can carry around in my pocket and kind of compete against Nintendo and other portable devices, all the better. I'm great for innovation. That would force everybody else to kind of show their hand, but we'll see what Google has to do. I don't know. So it's a long way off. It was just announced. Yeah. Let them do their thing. We'll talk to them later.
Let them Google their Google.
Yeah.
Now that you'd mentioned Fortnite on mobile, and specifically there's that event that they had.
Yes. Did you see it?
I didn't. Were you tempted to go on it?
I was so tempted to go in.
I was out with the family, so I couldn't do it. But it was curiosity. I really did want to go on and see it. Like, what on earth are they talking about?
Yes, and I hope that Epic is listening to our podcast, because who puts 1:30 p.m. event? I've got kids awake. Make it really early in the morning where I might be able to jump on, or really late at night.
Targeting dads, man. Like,
come on.
Targeting the kids.
1:30. No, it should be everybody. It's dads.
There should be a separate dad launch.
There should be like a repeat. I don't care if it's just like a stream video. That should be it.
It's just
beer. No, I was tempted to get in there. So
would have been fun. I'm telling you, like Jen, I still get this odd pull every now and then where I have so little time to game. I need something of non consequence. I'll just do a match of Fortnite. I've maybe done it twice since we've kind of played our like dad experiments with it.
Yeah.
There's still some sort of kind of pull to it to get back in. But then they had this event and it's like, man, that sounds so cool. Like what on earth is going on? Like
did you watch the event? Like, did you see replays of it?
I have not. Have you?
It is really cool. Yeah. And it went off again without a hitch. A lot happens in the world and people built these structures to watch the event, and no one killed each other for like a minute while this rocket took off and basically shattered the sky, which leaves a mark, so no one knows what's going to happen next. But the only thing I can compare it to was like Final Fantasy 11, where they like blew up, was it 11? Whatever the ones online, 14, was it 14? They blew up the whole world and restarted again. Like, it was a whole in-game event. And I think Fortnite is on the cusp of doing these kind of events where everybody just stops and just watches and then they go back to killing each other. It's just
what was my first thought too? Is just like, all right, I'm here, I get to watch this event. Ooh, you've been sniped by well, gamer killer 9995. Like, no, like,
a couple streamers did notice that because they built all these structures to watch it. One guy just took out the structure and got like a world record 48 kills in like like 1 second because everybody died off it. But
oh, that's so mean.
But he waited. He at least waited until the whole thing was done. So, you know, there's some sort of respect.
So he's a gentleman. That's exactly
before taking it.
But geez, that game just continues to amaze. Like, it, besides shattering the records, its popularity, its money, its intake, like, it's just not resting. You know, like, the seasons seem kind of interesting, and they keep pushing events and mystery and story inside this game that has no business having stories.
And that's the beauty part. I'm surprised that they have gotten away with that. Do you know what I mean? Like, people don't just kind of shrug it off. They're like genuinely interested in what's going to happen next and all these like clues hidden about the map. So
it'd be so easy for them just to kind of say like, all right, well, here is a new skin. It's a ninja.
Yeah.
See you next month. This company seems to be doing really great things. So it's exciting. It's cool to see good things succeed.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, lastly, we'd be remiss not to talk about Overwatch's new character, given how popular Overwatch is. Of course, man. It's a hamster in a death hamster ball. Perfect.
See, you're the Overwatch guy. You know this because I could not get into that game, but I understand it and I realize the popularity behind it. There's a whole backstory to where this hamster came from. So I don't know if you've watched that, but it's linked with the gorilla and the moon. And I'm like, oh, of course, they've kind of just thrown their hands up and been like super creative at this point, which I'm happy for. That's an awesome, it's a cute little character in this death machine that's roaming around the map. So,
man, it's you see his movement too, and how the player, how that particular character plays.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Like, it looks like a blast just kicking around. And again, it's one of those things where this world has no business having so much story. But have you ever watched any of their shorts?
Yeah, they're amazing. They are movie quality.
Yeah, I honestly, with this in this world, I would love to see a full length movie. I really would be interested to watch it. Like, the characters and the storylines seem so interesting.
Yeah,
that they've built up.
It'd be silly not to do that.
Yeah, I hope they're working on it. It might be the real formula for creating long lasting success for these type of shooters. Where, as opposed to, say, like, here's gnarly looking characters kill each other. It's more about, here is this vibrant world where, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. The main thing is like six dudes, shooty, dead. But
shooty. Yeah, it's exactly what I felt. Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's the pro terms.
Yeah.
That's how they announce it on OWL. But the extra layers of care and concern and story, it just produces some sort of depth to an otherwise very shallow mechanic. Yeah. Shallow, not so much. I know there's strategy and that there's a lot of great, incredible teamwork. If you've watched an OWL match, like, it's really incredible what these guys can do. So I don't mean to it's not dismissively say shallow, but ultimately six of you, six of them, kill those six people so you can win. Yeah. Right. That's what I mean by shallow. There's that shallow experience, much like Fortnite, where it's just kill everybody else. Mm-hmm. But all this depth around it, where normally you wouldn't need to have depth. And I think some of the greatest successes we're seeing have that formula. So somewhat shallow gameplay, approachable fun, great time with crazy depth in the background that you can dig into if you care to.
Yeah, and I think that's where they made a good decision on creating that layer of narrative where you're like, all right, well, what's missing from these, you know, shooters that are flash in the pans? Well, let's have these people care about these characters or select them based on their storylines. I still remember doing, not to compare it to Street Fighter, but they all had their like little intros and their little narrative, and I would have to go through each one to kind of, you know, see what they were about and what M. Bison would do at the end. So I don't know, just having that, again, little storyline to kind of thread things through is a neat thing to have, and I guess it's working. Like, it's keeping people, I think, engaged with these heroes and these characters that you're playing with.
At the very least, when, as a dad, and you have no time for it, you're losing horrifically, you can read the stories and not feel so bad.
I do. That's all I do. I view a little YouTube on it, and we're good.
Yeah, read some comics and try to sulk in the fact that you don't kill a single person.
Exactly. That's
Fortnite
me.
And Overwatch, the dad stories. But on that positive gaming dad note, we will wrap it up for the week. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com, as well as all the social platforms. If you'd like to listen to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, any of the podcasting services, and just recently Spotify. You can now find New Dad Gaming on Spotify. So please feel free to hop over there and listen to us. If you would like to be nominated for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week or know somebody else deserving, reach out to us on the website as mentioned. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
All right. I'll see you next week.
See you in Overwatch.
Hamster wheel. You know, 9 times out of 10, monkey beats hamster. It's just like...
We'll see about that.
Yeah. Despite all my rage, I'm still just a hamster in a death ball.
Wow, there you go.